There is a difference between our government and this one we have now. We did take action through tax credits and other decisions to help families. But we were wrong not to focus more on the type of economy we were building and what that meant for the widening gulf between those at the very top and the rest. Now, I have to say, in contrast, this Conservative-led government strategy for deficit reduction is about to crash into these long-term trends in our economy. The government is already contributing to high inflation and the squeeze on living standards with their decisions. So where will this crunch be felt? It will actually be felt first and worst by those on lower and middle incomes, particularly families with children. The rise in VAT is pushing the price of petrol at the pumps even higher. Just when the costs of childcare are rising twice as fast as wages, the government has cut the childcare element of the working tax credit. This year alone, on average, a single earner couple with children will lose over £1,500 a year, more than double the loss of a couple without children. And the changes continue beyond this year. A single earner couple with two children with earnings of £44,000 sounds well off, but such a family will see themselves lose £1,750 if they have two children in the scrapping of child benefit. These changes fail a fundamental fairness test, that families with children should be protected, not unfairly targeted. And finally, there are frontline service cuts, driven by the decision, in my view, to go too far and too fast on deficit reduction. According to independent work, couples with children will be hit twice as hard by cuts to services. So taken together, I believe these changes will mean a cost of living crisis for ordinary families in Britain, which will have a deep impact for years to come. And my fear is that because the government is making the situation worse, this cost of living crisis will not go away even as the economy recovers. Walk down any street, behind those front doors, families are anxious about how they will get by over the next few years. Squeezed wages, squeezed aspirations, and squeezed prospects. That is why what I call the promise of Britain, that the next generation would always do better than the last, is under threat. So given how serious these challenges are, I'm very pleased that the Resolution Foundation is taking up this work. And it is obviously for you to decide the focus of your work, but let me just suggest some areas which I think are most important. It seems to me that what comes out of our understanding of the causes of this problem is that we need to build a different sort of economy, with prosperity rooted in high productivity, high skill industries, creating quality jobs and better quality of life. And we need a tax and benefit system that supports families with children, not one which is increasingly skewed against them. I don't believe we can go forward to a fairer economy while remaining neutral about the quality of jobs we are helping to create. We all have a vested interest in the industries we grow in Britain and the kinds of jobs that are created as a result. Let me suggest some areas for your work then. I think it starts with serious thinking about how we create the incentives for business to break out of a low-pay, low-skill cycle. After 1997, the minimum wage did a huge amount to lift the pay of the low-paid. And it also showed that scare stories that the minimum wage would automatically destroy jobs and growth were just that, scare stories. As we did then, I believe we need to work with business to see how we can improve living standards while maintaining levels of employment and competitiveness. That's one reason, for example, I have said we should look at the potential for tax incentives to reward the adoption of the living wage of more than £7 an hour, supporting higher skill, higher productivity, higher growth companies. It also means looking again at how investment in skills and technology can drive productivity growth, particularly in historically low-skill sectors of our economy. This gives you a sense of the scale of the challenge. 8 in 10 German retail employees have completed vocational qualifications lasting 2 to 3 years and are far more likely to progress to managerial careers. Only 3 in 10 of their British counterparts are trained at the equivalent level. We also need, in my view, a more active industrial strategy. That means ensuring government does all it can to create the environment in which high-growth, high-productivity companies can be created and succeed. What does that mean in practice? In my view, it means looking at reforms to our banking system so it properly supports businesses, including small businesses, which has been a historic problem of British industry.